listeners, this is Economically Yours, a financial podcast co-hosted by yours truly, Charmi Shah.
And I, Darshan Joshi.
This podcast is divided into four segments,
but united by the drive to create awareness about the economy and the financial markets.
Welcome to the first segment of Economically Yours. It's called Khabar Pakki Hai. Here, we'll be giving you a brief of what's happening in the financial markets and the economy in general for your better understanding and growth. Dear listeners, it is a moment of joy for us as citizens of this world. It is that time of the year when you can laugh, sing and dance. Yet again, because guess what? The vaccine is finally out. Yes. Itni khushi to Dhoni ke six mein bhi nahi thi aur Ronaldo ke hat-trick mein bhi nahi hai. American pharma giant Pfizer announced on Monday that it has come out with their vaccine candidate for COVID-19, which has an efficacy rate of 90%. It conducted the study over 44,000 odd participants, and hence 90 is a very good number. Dr. Albert Bourla also exclaimed with joy that it was a great day for humanity and science as well, because it was a major breakthrough to end the global health crisis. And global stocks surged after the vaccine news, and investors revelled with joy the world over. Europe's Stoxx 600 was up nearly 4% and the Dow Jones was up nearly 3%. On the other hand, MSCI's worldwide index of global stocks was also at an all-time high after single-day gains of 1.36%. Coming back to the Indian markets, Nifty index also rose by 1.63% after the vaccine news. Itni achhi khabar ke baad to Indian primetime debate should also shift from mujhe drugs do, mujhe bail do, to mujhe vaccine do.
Coming to the second headlines of the week, we have a big news, that is the coal mine auctions that recently took place in India. So in India we've been doing coal auctions for a while now, but till date what was happening was there were certain end-user restrictions that government had placed on companies. But recently, the government decided to bring, you know, a kahani mein twist sort of a thing, and it introduced a new set of reforms, which kind of set aside these restrictions so that any company registered in India could produce coal. Because of which, the government's auctions gave in way for a lot of companies to bid. The auction started on 2nd of November 2020 and ended on 9th November 2020. Oh, by the way, this is not the final round that's happening. The first round happened back in September, where prospective bidders placed their applications. So initially, the government had tried to sell about 41 mines, but of course, it's India, so we have a lot of clearance issues that, you know, kind of take place. To name some, environment issues, forest clearance issues, land acquisition problems, and so on. But because of that, from 41 mines that the government had issued to sell, around 15 mines did not attract any bids, and 4 mines received only one bid each. So that also cancelled it off. So in totality, only 19 mines were placed up for auctions. And a lot of big players like the Adani Group, Aditya Birla Group, Vedanta, and so on participated in these auctions. The auctions have ended and we expect the results anytime soon. Once that got over, Coal Minister Prahlad Joshi said that these 19 blocks that went under the hammer can generate a total revenue of around rupees 7,000 crores per annum and also create about 70,000 jobs once they are operationalized.
Aur teesri khabar to aapki jaan hi le legi. क्योंकि न्यूज़ ही कुछ ऐसी है. RBI has now become a tantric. Yes, RBI has come up with its first ever nowcast, wherein it will predict the near future. And it has showed that India has entered a technical recession after the GDP contracted 8.6% in the last quarter. The pandemic-induced household savings increased up to 21.4% of GDP in the June quarter end. The official statistics are not yet out, but the news is not good. However, the central bank also noted the formation of an ebb as economic activities normalize throughout the country. If the economy is picking up pace with indicators like aggregate demand, manufacturing activities, and GST collection showing a certain degree of improvement. However, retail inflation ka to bura hi hal chal raha hai. It is at a 6-year high of 7.16%. The CFPI rose to 11.07% in the last month, while the key interest rates remain unchanged with an accommodative stance to support the growth potential of the economy. Over to you, Charmi, for the next headlines.
Thank you, Darshan. I'd like to conclude this segment by the last headline of the week, and which is nothing but our very own Nirmala Ji's stimulus package that recently came out. So we all observed that the Indian markets, you know, rallied for 8 days straight, but then ultimately it gave up on the 12th of November. That was the expiry day, Thursday. What's interesting to know is that somehow our governments love Thursdays, that, you know, they bring up all these announcements on Thursdays only. Anyway, coming back to the Atmanirbhar Bharat Package 3.0 that was announced, to help revive the COVID-19 battered Indian economy. So the continuation of its previous stimulus package, our FM Nirmala Sitharaman announced that package, and it comprised of a total of 12 measures. It strived to boost employment, housing, manufacturing, agricultural output, and infrastructure. I won't go into the details of all of them, but some important highlights include the fertilizer subsidy for farmers, the extension of EPLGS, income tax relief, and so on. However, it's interesting to note that in spite of the fact that this is touted to be worth rupees 2.65 lakh crores, much of it is in the form of expenditure switching and in the form of bank credit. So the package as a whole does not add much by the way of direct fiscal support. So it adds only about, you know, estimates say that it adds only about 0.5% of GDP to the fiscal deficit, which is not very promising enough. But yes, any package is welcome in these troubled times. But what we have to wait and watch is the fact that whether these announcements and packages will do enough to rekindle investor spirits or not.
Moving on to the second segment, which is Aaj Ke Marg Darshak. Today, we have with us Mr. Priyam Kampani, who is a CFA Level 2 candidate. Priyam started investing during his college days way back in 2016. So Priyam, instead of me talking about you, why don't you walk us through your journey in brief? So to start with, please tell us what made you enter the markets at such a young age.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. So yeah, markets always fascinated me since the time I was in high school. That was the time when we have that critical choice of selecting either science or commerce in class 11th. Markets always fascinated me. Aisa kya news aa gaya ki ek din bhav badh gaya, ek din bhav gir gaya. So those price fluctuations always intrigued me, and that made me grow closer and closer, as if you can say, made me a follower of the markets very actively. So that had a very big impact on me, because I started looking at it, reading, researching, and what was going on every day in the markets. Aaj achanak price kyun badh gaya, ek news aaya 10% bhav badh gaya, what is happening these days? So that is how I started slowly and slowly researching, reading, and going through, and that is how I started my full-time investment journey in around 2015.
So Priyam, I just had one question, like what keeps you pushing towards the market? Like what keeps you in touch with the market? What is the motivation factor?
See Darshan, to be very honest, I somehow like equities very much. It's kind of my passion. It drives me, because every day I'm intrigued. Why does the price move up? Why does the price move down? So that keeps me intrigued very much. I keep researching every day. And I also have a target in life. For me personally, I have set a own goal and own target for myself. At a certain age, I should have this much of capital. So that keeps me driving every day, and that keeps me motivated, definitely.
It's great to hear, Priyam, and we hope that you achieve that ambition soon and teach us also to, you know, kind of become rich at the end of the day.
Moving on to the third segment of this podcast, which is Markets Ki Kahani, Speaker Ki Zubani. As the name suggests, in this segment, we'll be discussing and talking with the speaker about the current market scenario and indulge ourselves in a conversation which will focus on explaining the episode name.
So the first episode of Economically Yours is named Finding Value or Chasing Growth. So the purpose of this podcast is to create awareness among the youth about the state of the Indian economy, about the current state of the Indian economy. So I think, Priyam, I would like to throw the discussion open with you describing or elaborating the very essence of the episode name. Like, what are we chasing or what are we finding over here?
Nifty is making record high since last 8 days continuously. Back in January, we had Nifty at 12,400. It went down to 7,500 and it is back at 12,400 within a matter of almost 6 months. So people are already at a dichotomy as to where should we go next or where are we heading next. So then the whole question comes in, should we go finding deep value stocks or should we ride the momentum of the growth story? Because since we have a weaker base of the past few quarters, any results right now will be a very good result. And the markets will factor those results very quickly. So it's always a doubt for any investor or any person who wants to start investing that should he focus on deep value stocks or should he focus on riding the momentum, riding the wave? Because if you stick to value, you're not sure as to when will that value unlock. Whereas if you stick to growth, you could end up being on the right side of the market and earn a good amount of money in a very short period of time. So which is why I thought of asking you guys that, is this the right question to go with? Is this finding value or finding growth? Because
yes,
it's a very difficult choice for any investor, any individual to factor in right now.
Correct. So PM, when you mentioned that, you know, right now we are in a, you know, cyclical switch between either, you know, finding deep value stocks or riding the momentum, could you throw some light on which sectors are, according to you, which sectors are in which criteria right now?
Yeah, see, so certain sectors, if you see, sectors such as consumer discretionary sectors, or those sectors, those are companies which made very good money for the last decade or so because they were compounding machines. But those are very expensive stocks.
Correct.
But currently, if you see the retail, as in the brand apparel segment, since due to the closure of the stores throughout the past quarter or so because of COVID, that sector currently is offering very good value, select companies in them. And they are available at dirt cheap valuations. The same was the case with the metal index. The metal index was the lowest in a decade, some 3 months back. Partly due to the China and everything, when India imposed restrictions on China and also when US imposed restrictions on China for metal, Indian China demand rose up, it shot up quite quickly in the next 2 months.
Yes.
So it was offering deep value around 3 months back. If you see in real estate sector as well, in the past 1.5 years or so, there's no additional inventory because nobody is trying to build better houses. They're just trying to repay debt and fear of the inventory. So yes, certain stocks, select city stocks, say some, I can give you a hint also, some realtors based out of Bombay, they offer very good value. A couple of months back, they offered a very good value and a price to get in. Some based out of Bangalore, they offer very good value.
Correct. Nice. So talking about metals, I mean, Nifty Metal recently gave a fresh breakout, right?
Correct.
And you know, on similar lines, indexes, if we talk about, Nifty was at an all-time high, but, you know, again, it corrected a bit. What do you think, will happen in the coming weeks? Do you think the markets will sustain this rally or a major correction is, in a picture? Because we noticed that the second wave of COVID was just rushed through the West. Do you think India might face that again and the index might drop and might correct itself to a low level again?
Yeah, see, you're absolutely correct. Due to the rising cases, at least I'm very cautious. Every day you are seeing record number of cases being recorded in the United States. As in just last week, they recorded 1 lakh cases a day, whereas just yesterday, they recorded 150 lakh cases a day. Within a matter of just 4 or 5 days, they had an actual jump of per day increase of 50,000 cases. So that makes me very much cautious, because this rally, as long as I understand with whatever limited knowledge that I have, or other experience that I've gained since a couple of years, this one-way rally cannot sustain for long. This has to correct. The question of the timing of that correction could be a question mark, or the magnitude of the correction could be a question mark, but you will definitely find some sell-off or some consolidation before we ride again the next wave of the bull run. Because I don't expect a single granular wave of uptick that we are seeing right now. Because everyone is following the index currently, and everyone is happy ki bhai aaj wapas index lifetime high touched kar gaya. It is too good to be true. Like, it is almost like a man proposes and God disposes. It's too good to be true. So at least I remain very cautious, and I expect some correction going forward, with the problem being that we don't know when that will happen. That is the only biggest question mark we have here right now.
Yes, of course, the markets did touch an all-time high, but do you think it was just optimism, or the IPO frenzy did play a major role over there? Because, you know, IPO did have a T20 kind of a run in India over the last few months. And talking about the latest IPO, and that would be Gland Pharma, that came out with its IPO this week itself. So what are your views about this company? And if you could please throw some light over what business it does.
Yeah, we just had Gland Pharma come out of its IPO. It is a very good company when you see it in isolation, because it's almost kind of a monopoly in the listed player space. It targets a B2C business model, which is primarily 90% of the revenues, and it is into injectable consumption, as in medicines. It is currently 51 or 50 APIs which are already in US, and there are 21 again in the pipeline. It is kind of a monopoly place. It is a very good company, but I found it a tad bit expensive. But considering the IPO frenzy that we are seeing right now, I'm sure it will end up having a blockbuster day on the bursis the day it lists up.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the reasons that its gray market premium declined. I mean, you know, investors kind of thought that this is at a higher bandwidth, and that is why the GMP also declined considerably. But on that,
if you case, see the retail subscription was also lower when you compare it to the previous IPOs.
Right, that's what I'm saying. On that note, there weren't many subscriptions also. I mean, if we compare it to the IPO frenzy that went on in the markets, what could be one of the reasons? I mean, personally speaking, I found the presence of Chinese promoters to be a concern. And I mean, what's your take on this?
Yeah, so that is a big concern, but as long as the company can do well, I don't think that should be a problem in the long run. Because even if you see Paytm, that is also run institutionally 51% owned by Chinese promoters.
Correct.
So as long as the company can be run properly without any national or any other security reasons or any problem, then I don't see an issue. But the only question mark I have about is the manufacturing unit, which is based out of Telangana. Around 85-90% of its manufacturing is skewed towards that one production plant itself. So okay, one FDA license will bring the whole production pipeline into haywire. That is one big problem that I have, which is kind of similar to other API companies that we have, such as there are many chemical companies which are single product, or medical companies which are single product companies, but they had a fantastic rally. So as long as they can sort that out, I don't think that should be a problem in the long run.
Exactly. If the company can, you know, produce an announcement to de-risk its production plant, I think, because otherwise the fundamentals of the company are really great. I mean, it holds a monopoly in the sector. So, yeah. All right, Priyam, thank you for, you know, indulging our audiences in this very knowledgeable segment and providing us with your gyan. I think this just suffices our episode name as to finding value or chasing growth, because at the end of the day, no matter how much we chase growth, what we look for at the end of the day is that, you know, whatever we have invested in is a value investment. So
that's my principle, at least. My whole my whole time goes into buying a one rupee product at anything lower than 1 rupee. That is what I focus in any day.
Because growth is always
a subset of value. So as long as you can find a valuable company, as in a good value company with growth prospects in that sector, you should be good to go with.
Of course. I think in words of Ranjor Das, I mean, his seed being here, he'd say that growth ke piche mat bhago, value ke piche bhago. So, yeah, I think on that note, I'd like to close this segment and move on.
Welcome to the fourth and the last segment of Economically Yours. It's called Economy Mein Lag Gayi Aag. So this is a quickfire round where the co-host will shoot words alternatively to the speaker and he or she will have to reply with the first word or phrase that pops up in the mind.
So yeah, we start, okay?
Yeah, I'll try my best.
Raghuram Rajan,
bring him back.
Okay, next word, stimulus,
fast.
IPO.
Cringy.
Atmanirbhar Bharat.
Good for the long term.
Modinomics.
Questionable.
Ambani.
Genius.
RBI.
RBI was Shuko. Achha, RBI, Rajan.
GST.
Good for the long term.
NBFC.
Deep value.
Thank you, Priyam. It was pretty quick.
So, Priyam, before concluding today's episode, I would just like to ask a question. And that would be, do you look up to an individual's investment style? Or is there an individual who you closely follow in the financial markets?
Yeah, Darshan, to be very honest, there are a couple of persons whose investment style and their working intrigues me, or is very fascinating, because they are very, very smart in what they do. One of them being Mr. Sanjay Bhattacharya, another one being Mr. Madhukela, Mr. Sunil Singhania.
Great, Liam. Thank you for being here. That brings us to the end of the first series of this podcast. Just to end it, I'd like to ask you for an advice that you'd like to give to new beginners or amateurs, as a piece of token of advice that you'd like to leave us with.
The one thing which is a fundamental part of anything that you do is that you should be up to date and keep reading. That's all.
Thank you so much for being here, PM. Thank you for doing this. And we are honored to have you on board with this. We hope we didn't bore you. And we hope our listeners really gain something out of this. Thank you so much,
Priyam, for coming on board Economically Yours. It was a pleasure, interacting with you.